You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. A new financial year is looming, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, will reveal the contents of the famous red box to Parliament in the spring budget on Wednesday, the 15th of March. Commentators eagerly await the budget, which is expected to deliver the government's next steps in addressing public finances. Although AHDB can't give you the heads up on the contents of the red box, as a levy payer, you are able to get some insight into the outlook for your sector in the coming months. Business managers know that having a handle on these matters is important, especially after a period of such economic uncertainty and cost rises, pushing inflation and interest rates to levels not seen in years. Lots of factors affect farmers' input costs, world events and supply and demand included, coupled with cautious consumers. I'm John Bates, and the podcast today is focused on the outlooks prepared by AHDB's market analyst. AHDB AgriMarket Outlooks examine the factors likely to affect farm businesses, helping levy payers plan and budget for what may lay ahead. The analysis features detailed market outlooks for each levy-paying sector covered by AHDB's remit: beef and lamb, dairy, pork, cereals and oilseeds. The latest outlook also examines trends in farm business inputs and consumer demand. The market outlook for livestock is produced every 6 months, and my guests will talk about the specifics relating to beef, lamb, pork and dairy. Hannah Clark joins me first. Hi, Hannah. Thanks very much for sparing the time to come on the podcast. First off, just tell us a little bit about what you do for levy payers.
Yeah, morning, John. Thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, so I'm a red meat analyst at AHDB, so I cover predominantly beef and lamb and try and interpret the data and make sense of the markets for levy payers.
Thanks, Hannah. So let's start with beef. So there are some key trends that we're seeing in beef production at the moment. What's the outlook for 23?
Yeah, so we saw a slight uptick in beef production in 2022, driven by an uplift in cattle slaughter, particularly in cows and prime heifers. The data shows cattle numbers increased, particularly in the fourth quarter of 22. We tend to see this trend anyway in the run-up to Christmas and winter housing. But this year, numbers of cows in particular were higher than previous years. Of course, this year we've had the combination of increased cost of production and added pressure from tighter forage stocks due to the very dry weather earlier in the year. Generally, production levels and prime cattle numbers have been relatively steady over the last few years. This has occurred despite the dairy and suckler breeding herds remaining in a state of long-term decline. What we've seen during this time is a changing composition of UK beef production. So the number of beef calves being born to the suckler herd has been generally falling, while we've seen output from the dairy herd continue to change. Continued use of beef and sex dairy semen has allowed more beef to be produced from fewer cows, basically. So more beef cross calves are coming out of the dairy side, animals which typically achieve improved carcass conformation and market value than pure dairy types. And so overall beef production has been generally supported. We're expecting that trend to continue into 2023. We saw a slight uptick in beef calf registrations in 21, and so these will feed through into this year's production and contribute to a 1% increase in prime kill as a result. BCMS data suggests that more cattle will come through, particularly in the first half of the year, which is something we're already seeing in our estimated slaughter data for the first few weeks of 2023.
So as a layman listening to that, that sounds sort of quite optimistic. Just sticking with beef for a moment. So cost of living is a key concern for consumers just at the moment. How is beef consumption? How's that expected to change in 23?
Yeah, of course. So while COVID, of course, still lingers on, in 2022, we saw the dominance of the pandemic fade away, but of course, new financial pressures have come to face consumers and are altering their buying habits, which we expect will unfortunately have a negative impact on overall beef consumption in 2023. Consumer tracking data from November shows that 59% of consumers are claiming to be worse off financially in recent months. And so consumers are trying to save money where they can. Recent data shows evidence of consumers trading down within the beef category to products like mince and trading between proteins such as to cheaper pork and chicken. If we think about the out-of-home market for 23, we are expecting beef to have the strongest recovery of all red meats, but volumes are still expected to remain below pre-pandemic levels. So overall, for consumption in 23, we're expecting a decline in beef retail volumes to drive a 2% decline overall. We may see some boost to consumption in the summer months, depending on weather, but this will likely favour burgers, and so carcass value balance will be a key watch point for the industry going forwards.
All right, so it always comes back to the weather, doesn't it? Let's just move on to talk about lamb, if we may. I know that we have lots of sheep farmers that listen to the podcast. So tell us about the production trends and what we're seeing and how that's expected to influence supplies this year.
So like beef, last year we saw tricky conditions for lamb producers, not least because of more expensive inputs, but also pressure on livestock from drought conditions. The dry weather affected grass growth rates and forage production generally. It also meant that establishment of root crops planted for stock keep in the colder months was generally poorer. Combined with this, higher cost feed would have put producers off creep feeding lambs to normal levels, further affecting lamb growth generally. Due to this, lambs from the 22 crop have been slower to come forwards. We saw fewer lambs being marketed in the second half of the year, and generally we saw lighter carcass weights come forwards too. What that means for 23 is we're expecting a higher carryover of hoggets into the first part of the year. Again, something we're picking up in early slaughter data for January. In terms of the 23 lamb crop, this is affected particularly by the condition of ewes at tupping in the autumn and scanning rates for the new season. We've heard mixed reports of both so far. Pressures on feed costs did lead to reports of leaner ewes being served, but around that time, we also had some rain and quite a notable flush of grass, which will have offered some support to ewe condition generally. And so for 23, we are expecting a pretty stable lamb crop, which combined with a higher carryover is expected to lead to more lambs being marketed in 23 and higher production overall by around 8% year on year.
Okay, thanks, Hannah. So I don't think we can talk about sheep meat without talking about our friends in the Southern Hemisphere. So let's just talk about New Zealand imports for a moment. What's the data telling us at the moment about what the trends are?
Yeah, of course. It's a really key point to discuss for lamb, isn't it? So looking at total lamb imports for 22, we did see strong growth in total UK sheep meat imports year on year, but historically levels were not too out of place, to be honest. More product did come in from New Zealand, but the majority of the uplift in 22 was actually in volumes of Irish products. But looking at New Zealand specifically, the product mix has shifted notably. In 22, we saw a sharp uplift in frozen sheep meat imported, particularly legs, and a marked decline in volumes of fresh product. And this was partly driven by a reduction in demand from China for New Zealand product, which has been affected by zero COVID policies, but also recovering pig meat production. It's also less risky to ship frozen products such a distance from such as the UK, so there's reportedly been a risk management element to the products traded as well. Just thinking ahead for 23, we're forecasting UK sheep meat imports to ease year on year in line with longer term trends. Also, the domestic market balance is one element behind this. Higher production and lower forecast consumption is expected to ease import demand and offer support to exports. Our key supplier, New Zealand, is expecting to see lower supplies of lamb available for export due to a smaller lamb crop, which could limit volumes to the UK as long as Chinese and Asian demand remains robust, which it is forecast to do so this year. Of course, a risk to this is how competitive New Zealand product is in the UK market and the potential ratification of trade deals potentially later in the year, although at the moment the timeline for that is still a bit uncertain. The other thing I should mention is Australian production is forecast to grow. However, Australia is generally a smaller supplier to the UK. So a generally smaller picture for lamb import volumes in 23.
Okay, so that sort of tells us about production. What about consumer demand? Are we expecting demand to respond positively?
So unfortunately, similar pressures that I mentioned on beef are expected to be prevalent for lamb. Lamb, of course, is a higher priced protein compared to beef. And so unfortunately, is expected to sort of feel those effects more acutely. Overall, we are expecting demand to fall about 8% year on year. We are expecting out of home demand recovery, but this is expected to be weaker compared to the other red meats. We could see some slowed decline rates at sort of religious festivals, so Easter and around Eid and Ramadan. But overall, unfortunately, it's a bit of a potentially negative outlook for lamb demand in 23.
Oh, Hannah, we didn't end on the high that I was hoping for there. Oh, my goodness me. Right. OK, thank you very much for that. So Freya's waiting in the wings. Freya, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Just start off by telling us what you do for Levy Pairs.
Hello, I'm Freya. I am also an analyst for the red meat team. I mainly focus on the pork sector and also work across dairy as well.
Thank you, Freya. Welcome to the podcast. So when will we start to see the drop in production and what are the key drivers for this that are being talked about, please?
To anticipate that pig meat production in the UK will decline 15% in 2023, year on year compared to 2022. This will mean the year will end at around 885,000 tonnes. It will be driven by a 13% reduction in clean pig kill, which is anticipated to total the year at 9.8 million head, a loss of 1.4 million head compared to 22. We do expect that these declines will be heavily weighted to the first half of the year with a slow recovery in the second half of the year. And the historic weighting behind these is the 15% drop in the sow herd in 2022. The forecast is also based off lighter carcass weights, with pigs coming forward earlier this year. So our forecast is based off an 87 kilogram deadweight pig.
OK, so let me just pick up on that then. So I'd like to talk about the breeding herd. And do we anticipate seeing a recovery in the herd population?
We do anticipate seeing a very gradual recovery. So in June 23, we're expecting to see an additional 7,000 head year on year compared to June 22. But we're not anticipating numbers to grow at a significant rate. It will be a steady increase if market conditions allow, meaning that we won't return to 2021 numbers until at least 2025.
Now, Freya, I know that analysts sort of, you know, hate being asked to forecast and look into the future, but let me just press you a little bit, if I may, about the forecasted production decline and what sort of impact that's likely to have on trade.
Probably unsurprisingly, we can expect to see export volumes decline. That is simply due to reduced domestic production and therefore less available product. We are expecting them to ease about 11% for 2023 compared to 2022. Imports, on the other hand, we are expecting to see an increase. This is because as demand remains relatively sustained, although it's a negative figure for the year, minus 3%, it will still outweigh our domestic production, and therefore we're forecasting an increase of 10%.
Thank you very much indeed. So that was your first contribution to the AHDB podcast, and hopefully that wasn't too stressful. But thanks very much for taking part. I'd now like to move to our third guest, Patty Clayton. Patty, welcome back to the podcast. It's always lovely to have you on the show. Just talk a little bit about dairy production, if you would, because there's been some pretty large price cuts which have been spoken about recently. And I'd like to know what you think about what's behind that and tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Hi, John. And yeah, thanks for having me back. If we look at where dairy markets are now, we have been seeing these large price cuts, and those are on the back of really high prices that we saw during 2022. Really fundamentally, it's because the market for dairy at a global and domestic level has been pressured by those high prices transferring into products. So we've seen butter prices, cheese prices, etc., move up quite substantially on the markets, and that's affected demand. Demand's dropped. Unfortunately, at the same time, by the autumn of last year, milk production had finally started to recover after a couple of years of it declining. So when you had the combination of those two events, we've seen farm gate prices react to that and processors having to push them down in order to remain profitable and competitive in the markets. I guess on the positive side, though, at a global level, the lower prices we're seeing in the sort of the wholesale markets has helped to reinvigorate some import demand from more price sensitive countries who pulled back from the markets when the prices had hit the highs we saw last year. And we are also seeing tentative signs of China possibly returning to the market. Now, in 2022, they were working under these really strict COVID restrictions. They had that zero COVID policy that was really impacting their economy and demand. And so they imported quite a bit less last year than they had previously. They are expected to return to the market now that that policy has changed. Their population is still growing, so there is going to be more demand coming out of there. There's just a question still on when that recovery might happen, but we're hoping that once that sort of kicks in, that should help sort of stem that downward move in farm gate pricing.
So, Patty, I'm not an analyst or an economist, and people who listen to the podcast regularly will know that's certainly true. But there's a lot of talk about inflation and the fact that inflation is getting lower in 2023. So is that set to help dairy farmers offset some of the drops in the milk prices that they're seeing?
Yeah, the headlines are saying inflation's getting lower. The politicians are saying that. And while that's a positive message, what it means in reality is that those price increases that we've seen last year are going to slow down. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see prices dropping. And that particularly applies for inputs. That's the important element here, in that we can't see feed, fertilizer, fuel, the key input costs, seeing much of a decline from the levels they are at the moment. So while we aren't anticipating further increases in those costs, there is still a high cost of producing milk. And one of the things that needs to be considered is the fact that through this next financial year, any purchases that dairy farmers have to produce the milk are going to be at those higher levels. Whereas last year, that probably only applied to a portion of the purchases for the year, whereas this year it's going to apply for the full year. So we know that their costs are going to increase. The other really important element is the fact that we will have a higher proportion of farm businesses having to renew those energy contracts, and that's going to put another big dent in their cash flow. So it's positive in the sense that we shouldn't anticipate further inflation in inputs, but we do think the actual bank cash requirements, the working capital requirements this year, are going to put pressure on farm businesses.
And of course, consumers have got a dent in the cash flow as well, haven't they? So we just can't deny that they're feeling the squeeze. Is that going to have an effect sort of on the overall demand for dairy products? I'm just sort of concerned that whilst an enormous percentage of British households have got dairy in the fridge, is that picture sort of likely to change because of the squeeze that consumers face?
Well, at a domestic level, you're right, John. Dairy is a staple, particularly milk. And we don't anticipate that we're going to see a big drop off in milk purchases from consumers. Milk's likely to remain a staple. It's less price sensitive than perhaps some of the other dairy products that we put in our baskets. And our outlook from our retail and consumer team suggests that liquid milk, drinking milk, will decline in 2023. But back in line with the long-term decline we've been seeing in milk consumption prior to the pandemic, which really threw things out. So we're expecting about a 1% decline in liquid milk consumption, which is what we were seeing previously as a year-on-year sort of general long-term decline. For cheese and butter, it's a slightly different story because these are, for one, they're slightly more expensive items and they're also slightly more discretionary, if you will. Butter has a lot of substitutes. We're already seeing consumers move away from butter and into lower cost alternatives. And with cheese, again, the expectation is that consumers are either going to be more frugal with their purchases or they're going to trade down. So they might, instead of buying quite a high priced branded product, premium product, they may move down a couple of tiers and buy a less expensive one. So that's going to affect overall sales domestically. And I think the expectation is around a 3% drop on the key dairy products of cheese, butter and yogurt for the 2023 calendar year. And that's going to mean that less milk's going to be needed from our farmers to meet the demand for those products, unless, of course, we can expand those export markets to take up the slack. If we look outside of the UK, demand on a global level is expected to rebound this year. The timing is a little bit uncertain, but we're already starting to see a little bit of increased activity from China, and overall demand at a global level is expected to remain relatively stable year on year in 2023. So we shouldn't see a big drop in import demand. And hopefully, as the UK export initiative gains momentum, we can hopefully replace some of that domestic demand with some higher exports. Obviously, that's still work in progress, and we'll have to keep track of the markets and make sure that that's happening. But long term, there's a positive message. Dairy is still in demand at a global level. And once the economy improves, that will come to force and there is still a good future for our domestic producers.
Hey, we ended on a high. That's what I like. We got there in the end. So that's a summary of the agri-market outlooks for the beef and lamb, pork and dairy sectors. For more information, you can visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. Thanks very much to my guests, Patty, Hannah and Freya. If you've got any comments about this podcast or you would like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levy payers or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really does want to hear from you. This podcast was produced by Kate Herrick. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.